Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In Podcast 763, we are making our way to 1,000 podcasts. And I just realized that I've been doing a lot of podcasts that have been, pretty thoughtful, deep podcasts about deep issues. And I haven't done what I call an easy talker, which is just talking about stuff and not really any direction. And I definitely have some ideas about what I want to talk about, reaction to the Who's Running the Country podcast. I want to talk a little bit about media. I want to talk about insulating yourself from the nonsense that is going on. I'm going to talk about that a little bit and the results that will be coming in terms of the vote by the end of October, beginning of November. And some business stuff as well, and the whole point of our social experience in this country, our society. So I guess this will be a little deep, but it's more just kind of a meandering, easy talker in podcast 763. Well, if you spend any time thinking about what is important in life, you're going to come to the conclusion that a lot of what goes on and a lot of things that we get, a lot of things that we buy are commodities these days. Do you ever think, you used to be, when I was a kid, we used to think about which gas station we went to, whether it was City Service or, you can trust the man, you can trust your car to the man that wears the star. The grocery store, the brands were very, very important. Today, a lot of this stuff has been commoditized. And I, one of the things that I have thought about a lot is, the relationship that people have to products and services. And I would just ask the question, when was the last time that you bought a product or service somewhere and you thought to yourself, God, I wish I would have known about this, 10 years ago. This would have been great because of the experience that you had. And yet that is the most important thing when it comes to your important things, whether it's a wedding ring or a watch or, the diamonds in your wife's wedding ring or your grandmother's wedding ring that you're going to give to your daughter or your niece or something for her wedding, and whether or not they're secure. This kind of stuff, these heirlooms, these things that are so important to us that we wear for a lifetime are really important. So I'm going to recommend a jeweler, Johankin Jewelers, in Crystal, in the Crystal Shopping Center there, because they are superb at managing these really important things in our lives. For instance, if you have your grandfather's railroad watch, let's say. I was talking to Todd Johankin just the other day, and he was talking about a watch that he worked on that was from the 1890s. And they have this huge watch collection. So if you have an old watch or something that it's dear to you and your family, wouldn't it be great to be able to see that and have it working like it was brand new? That's why I recommend the jeweler you can trust, Johankin Jewelers in Crystal, Minnesota, in the Crystal Shopping Center. They've been in the same family since 1886, actually. It's not a chain. Johankin's, local family, like the things that are important to all of us. Johankin's, known for rebuilding and repairing crowns and settings to perfection. I've seen some of their work. It's amazing. Diamonds and gemstones, any and all jewelry repairs, watch restoration and service. They have a huge collection of antique watches. Plus, they have new stuff too, and they have obviously all kinds of new jewelry as well. So, check out johankinjewelers.net. Lots of great advice and information on their page. Johankin's at 115 Willow Bend in Crystal, in the Crystal Shopping Center. Here's the number: 763-537-7233, 763-537-7233, or click on that elegant Johankin's Jewelers banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. In the news these days, with all the talk about foreign manufacturing, with the new president, some companies are preparing to bring some of their manufacturing back to the United States. A lot of companies have already, brought manufacturing back in-house, and they are questioning that. So they're looking around for American manufacturers. If this is you, remember DepoStar, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit them at depostar.com. Yeah, I was a little surprised because I got a fair amount of really good response to the podcast about Who's Running the Country Anyway, which was based on that show, Designated Survivor, because it seems like in the show, that's all they ever say. And people really liked it because I think it's unique in that it sets out the idea that both political parties are kind of, in some ways, on the same side. And you'll have to listen to the whole podcast to understand what I'm talking about. But I love doing that podcast because it's unique and different. And I don't think you can say enough. It's very interesting to me because today, the way the media works is the biggest clickbait headline that you can come up with, the most lurid thing that you can say, and then you say it, and you say it over and over and over and over and over. Ad infinitum, you can't say something enough. My approach to things is I don't like to do podcasts that are about the same thing all the time, even when there are themes. And there are definitely themes in my thinking. There are themes in my life, just like everybody else. I'll sit and think about it, and I'll say, well, I don't think I should do that because I've done 10 podcasts about that. The yoga podcast, I worry I keep telling the same stories over and over again in yoga, even the yoga podcast. And yet when I listen to that, I kind of advanced my thinking a little bit in terms of some of my impressions about, quote unquote, can you do too much yoga? And yet when I go and I look at what's out there, it's over and over and over and over and over again, the same thing, and restating and restating and restating. It's like Groundhog Day. It's just, it keeps playing on a loop. And occasionally something happens that advances it, and then the analysis and the storylines just repeat, repeat, repeat. And the way media works is if you want to become, if you want to become well-known or famous or whatever you want to say, you kind of pick up an approach and then you stick with that approach constantly. And I just have never felt that that was a good thing. And from my experience of being, doing talk radio and being on the radio and working in radio, media operates on repetition. So if you work for a top 40 radio station or any kind of radio station, we had things called rotations where, songs rotate and play more than several times a day. So if you have a really big hit song that's current that everyone likes, you have to play it a lot so that it's present when they punch up the radio station. At least that was the thinking. And I think that that's the way, in general, cable TV stations operate and everything else. The lead story is the lead story. It's got to be showing when people hit the page. It's got to be showing when people hit the channel. It's got to be showing when they come across, listening to the radio and scan. So what happens is if you're working in that media, you end up just pounding on the same thing and same thing and same thing. And this is the soul-killing, experience for the talent. And my theory is that podcasting doesn't have to be that way, because if you want to listen to the Kavanaugh podcast, you can listen to it. If you want to listen to the series I did about, the House races and the Senate races and the gubernatorial races and so forth, you can listen to it. I don't have to repeat that stuff. I can refer to it in conversation. I can say, here's some things that have changed, and I am going to do that in this podcast in terms of polling. I can throw out theories that might be a repeat, but I find it fascinating that even in podcasting, you have people repeating the same things over and over again. How many podcasts can you do and say the same thing over and over again? It's not like a daily show where it should be more than that. And so every one of these podcasts should be different, at least somewhat different than what was there before, so that there's something new to think about and talk about. And if you can't advance the story as a content creator, why are you doing it? And that's the thing that is interesting to me. Yeah, you can increase your circulation with clickbait headlines and predicting the future. That's the other factor that I find fascinating in media, the idea that you are always predicting this is going to happen next. And I see it, I've been conducting this probably 2 year long study of YouTube. And it happened because I had a client that wanted to look for certain types of YouTube content creators to advertise. And so I started looking at YouTube a lot. And I'm fascinated with YouTube because they also suffer from, and I'm not talking about the videos about how to fix your truck or, how to build a house or, the how to make pan-fried steak or whatever it is that you do. I'm talking about the current topics type stuff on YouTube. You know, every guy has a thing, and they spend a lot of time telling you what's going to happen. You know, Trump's going to do the emergency 9/11 message thing, and then all these horrible things are going to happen. This planet is coming into our solar system. It's going to, and these things are going to happen. Look for this, and this is what's going to happen, and predicting the future. And I don't know how many times I have to say, you can't predict the future. You could be, if you spend all your time predicting the future, you're going to be right about 30% of the time, and then you can say, I said that would happen. Well, good for you, but it's not. And I certainly am as guilty. I used to say all the time, if we continue down this road, this is going to happen. Now, you can say, if we continue down a certain road, then we're going to be looking at this kind of a situation. But that's not what they're doing. They're saying that this guy is going to be confirmed or isn't going to be confirmed. This, the midterm, is going to result in the following. These polls all say that this is going to happen. And you just can't predict the future. And I quote my friend Patrick Royce, who, and I tell this story, here's another repeat, but I mean, I tell this story all the time, and I don't think you can say it enough. I asked a sports writer once, you know, what's going to happen in the big game? And he said, well, that's why we play these games, Bob, so that we can find out what's going to happen. Sports is really interesting because with sports, every weekend there, or every Monday or whatever, you know, the game is, there's going to be a game and there's going to be an outcome and there's going to be a statistic, a group of statistics associated with that game, which will go into the hopper with all of the other statistics focused, you know, and resulting from all of the other games. So you can look at a football game and you can say, here's what they did. Here's what happened against this team. Here are the statistics. Here are the players. This can all be codified. Baseball is probably the best example of that, where you can take the players from 1959 and have them play a game in 1918, conceivably, and you're playing essentially the same game with a few minor changes. That's not what society is, and that's not what life is like, and that's not what politics is like, because it's a moving target. You know, there is no standard in you know, political science. It changes because the laws change, election law changes, candidates change, issues change. They have different effects, and so it's an art. It's not a science. Democracy is not a science. Political science, such as it is, I wouldn't call a real science. I would say that it is what they used to refer to as social sciences, being the littlest science, meaning physics is science. If you'd have a physics experiment, you have to be able to show a result every single time, the same result. That's the nature of science. So we observe, we codify, and then we repeat the experiment until we can get the same result. So we know exactly what you have to do to take this chemical. There's a train out there, by the way, if that's what you're hearing, if you have headphones on. This chemical, and we can combine it with that chemical and make a certain type of result. That's not political science. Political science is the codification of information from elections and drawing conclusions based on your experience with politics and your experience with the observation of politics. So it's an art. It's an art of politics as it's practiced. And the best practitioners know that. The really gifted politicians know that it is an art, and they practice it that way. And it's very interesting to me that we are left with, this is going to happen because these polls say that's going to happen. You don't know that. And so that, I don't think that can be said enough, and I don't think that I can repeat that enough, and I won't. I'm going to repeat it in this podcast because I think it needs to be said. But I want people to know how I operate. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to the radio. I don't listen to other podcasts. I do watch YouTube. I do read a lot. And I do spend a lot of time watching movies and TV shows because I feel that they are windows into the general social trends. I don't even watch that many documentaries. I do find myself watching documentaries when my consciousness is raised or when I find a topic that's interesting, but I don't even do that. In fact, I just got into a big argument with my son, you know, on the phone over the Ken Burns Vietnam thing. I try to stay away from that because in general, they are current products, and they are products of current opinion, even if it's revisionist on certain types of historic things. And I'm not talking about Ken Burns in general. I'm just saying documentaries in general. They are, you know, they're made from a point of view. They don't necessarily illuminate. I prefer to read books, and particularly history books. So I don't always read, like, I won't read the book about the Trump administration by what's his name at the Washington Post. I will stay away from that fear. You know, I won't watch that. I won't read that. I'll wait 2 or 3 years and read it. And I don't know why that is. It's just that's my process. I tend to read history and stay away from current time stuff. And the history helps me put what I see going on, and I mean what I read about, in perspective. So a lot of what I get from the internet. I print it, I read it, and then I draw my conclusions from the things that I've read, and print any number of different stories about a particular thing, so that I've got 4 or 5 different actual news stories from 4 or 5 different sources, as many different sources as I can assemble, to be able to say, well, here's what they're saying about this, or here's what they're saying about that. Or I'll go look at the existing data. And so there's a lot of printing and a lot of reading, and that's a holdover from radio, as opposed to just sitting down and saying, this is what I think. I don't like doing that. I don't like doing these kinds of podcasts. They're just, I think they're better to listen to for people because, I mean, at least in terms of my perspective as a podcaster, I've gotten a lot of good response from people that like these kind of meandering podcasts. I don't, because I worry about what I say, and I worry about accuracy, and I worry about saying, well, I looked all this stuff up and this is what it said. Occasionally, though, I got to do that to just kind of clear the air for myself intellectually. So I want people to know, I don't watch, I really don't. I actually disconnected the cable box and only watch movies and stuff on Netflix and HBO and everything else. I don't want to watch Fox, and I don't want to watch CNN, and because I'm not going to learn anything from those channels. They're not going to be able to tell me anything that I can't find out or don't already know. And I think a lot of people spend a lot of time being affected emotionally by those channels, and they think they're getting high-quality information. In other words, they think they're getting a lot of information, but if you winnow it down to what is actually this particular segment of this particular show on MSNBC or CNN or Fox News is about, there's very, very little information there. You can get more information in 10 minutes online by simply reading stories from New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or, you know, Breitbart even, or, you know, and if you don't like right-wing sources, you go to left-wing sources. It doesn't matter. Huffington, you know, whatever it is, you can get more information in 10 minutes by reading it, even if you don't print it. And if you take the time to print that stuff and spend an hour in the evening or in the morning or whatever you want and actually read that stuff, you will know more than anyone. And in fact, if you read newspapers such as they are today even, you will still know more than anyone. Like if you read the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and the Washington Post and one other paper and balance it out with other information that you read, you will know more than almost everyone because they are watching television. And, you know, very quickly, speaking of printing, because I've been talking a lot about printing news, I print a lot, and I hate that because I end up having to go to these big box retailers to buy these expensive print cartridges, really expensive, like way higher than they are at Cartridge World. So here's what you do. Click on that banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com, takes you to Cartridge World in Maple Grove. They can save you 30% compared to the big box stores. They are guaranteed to perform as good as new. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Cartridge World in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. Ask for Jason, 763-420-6632, or click on the banner at the top of the page, the yellow, black, and white banner from Cartridge World at the top of the page of the BobDavisPodcast.com. That takes you to their page. You can contact them and do whatever you got to do. Just had to take a sip of water, and I don't drink the tap water in my town, and I'll tell you why. For one thing, it's the taste, not to mention the pollution from decades ago. I don't use it in coffee because it tastes bad, and I don't use it to cook with because it tastes bad. The only thing I might use the water for is to you know, clean with, I guess. But there's toxins in most water that's odorless, tasteless, and colorless. They also put stuff in it to prevent it from killing you, and that might be worse than what's in it to begin with. So yes, I spend a lot of money on bottled water, big cases of bottled water, three or four at a time, that, you know, even if they're cheap, you got to drag it into the house, you got to, you know, and then you have to pay for it, and then you got to throw out the, you got to recycle the bottles and so forth and so on. There is a solution to this, and that is Water Butler. This is a service that can make your tap water more pure and better tasting than bottled water, and it's affordable, which is all the better. MasterPlumberMN.com is the website, MasterPlumberMN.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page of the Bob Davis Podcast page that says Water Butler. They can set you up with a water purification system that's going to end your dependence on bottled water forever. So Joe Berg at the Water Butler says, I can make your water taste as pure and as clean as bottled water, and for a fraction of the cost. 763-286-8328. So if you want a huge system put in to cover all the water in your house, they can do that. They can also put something in under your sink. If you live in St. Louis Park, Rogers, Maple Grove, Edina, Plymouth, or Minnetonka, this message is for you because you guys know what I am talking about. It is time to purify your water right from the source with the Water Butler. 68 years of experience with plumbing. They're not going to screw anything up in the house. 30 years of experience with water filtration systems. 763-286-8328. That is 763-286-8328. Or click on the Water Butler banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. That takes you to MasterPlumberMN.com. End your dependence on bottled water forever today. So the effect of that for me is I am insulated from the emotional nonsense. So television is extremely emotional. Your mind literally goes to sleep when you watch television. And it's because of the refreshing on the screen that it hypnotizes you. So you're actually in a relatively mild state of hypnosis when you watch television. So you think that there's more to it than there actually is. You can do this exercise with almost anything. If you watch a movie and you diagram out the story in a movie, and I don't care what the movie is, Chinatown, Heat, you diagram out the story from the first 30 minutes, the second 30 minutes, the third 30 minutes, and the 10-minute wrap-up in a long movie, and you can diagram that story on one piece of paper. And then you can take a story from Shakespeare and do the same thing, and you'll see that the experience of watching it is different from just diagramming it out. So if you diagram the news, then you say, here's what we know about the Brett Kavanaugh story, and you diagram that. You can do that if you know the details. You can do that very quickly, and that's the diagram. So you don't need hours and hours and hours of television viewing that's going to affect you emotionally and put you into a state of hypnosis by watching that. It's one of the reasons I think you find yourself falling asleep in front of the TV sometimes, because you're literally in a state of hypnosis when you sit there and watch that. So I find now, because I watch so much, you know, drama, and a little less comedy, but drama, I get bored with it because it's very often the same story. So the hero is introduced within a very short period of time. There's a huge crisis and the hero is threatened, and all that happens to the hero is this process of him overcoming this horrible evil, and then he overcomes it, and then we tie up all the loose ends. The bad people get killed, he gets the girl, and the show's over. And that's true whether you're watching the most sophisticated dramas, like, for example, the show The Deuce, which is done by the same guy that did The Sopranos. Fabulous, well-acted, well-produced, meticulously, you know, constructed period piece about Times Square in the 1970s and early 80s and Studio 54 and everything. It's great. It's a great show. But when you actually diagram the storylines in those shows, it's not much to it. You know, you watch it because you like to see the actors, or you like to have the experience, right? Well, that's what they are doing with television news. They are creating a storyline, a Greek drama, for you to enjoy. And if they do it really well, it's Shakespeare. And if they do it very poorly, it's like a bad TV show. But that's what they're doing. So when you take that away, then the scales fall from your eyes and you are insulated from the nonsense. And that's the point that I'm making about why I don't watch television news. And if I was to turn it on, I would see just what you see on the front page of Drudge or the front page of CNN.com or the front page of Fox News. It's either something about Kavanaugh. So it's all about the nomination of a Supreme Court justice, which I stipulated in the Brett Kavanaugh podcast. The Supreme Court was an afterthought by the founders. They're probably turning over in their graves, seeing what the court has wrought in the 200 some years that it's been around. But in any case, the general trend of news is to predict what's going to happen with this particular individual who has been nominated to the Supreme Court. And by the way, you know, again, I have to say this. A lot of times these guys that are promoted nominated and then put onto the court don't perform the way they're expected to, because the court, I don't think the court is as political and as ideological as the legislative branch or the executive branch. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it just from reading history. But aside from that, if you were to turn on the television, all you're going to see, and as I do my little light survey of news before this podcast, all you see is predictions about what's going to happen. And I'll tell you, you know, I did 9 podcasts where I looked at all the polls and as a baseline. So I created a baseline. And a month ago, I started into this. So throughout late August and early September, I examined every toss-up race. I looked at the governor's races, some of them that are now in the top of the news I haven't looked at because they weren't toss-up races at the time. But in general, I created a baseline for what the polls show, where I was saying, I want to investigate to see whether the storyline that there is a blue wave, this is all pre-Kavanaugh, is actually true. And I found a lot of close races. I wouldn't say that they are toss-ups. I found a lot of close races in Republican districts and came to the conclusion that much of this will depend on voter turnout. There are some exceptions. So Scott Walker is not doing very well in Wisconsin. Now, I'm not going to predict what's going to happen to Scott Walker. It all depends on who comes out and votes. He's in a race where his opponent is really kind of widening the race, but the polls currently show, to a certain extent, some advantage for Democrats, but they're very close. So they're really within the margin of error. And you're seeing places where Republicans are up 3, you know, up 4, up 5. Democrats are up 3, up 4, up 5. The midterms are going to depend on who goes out to vote. And the midterms favor older voters, white voters, and higher income voters. So unless you're talking about Los Angeles, California, for the most part, you're talking about people who lean to the right. And we can't say what is going to happen because we can't know who's actually going to show up to vote. And as I said in a couple of these podcasts, that one of the things that really upsets me is they keep quoting these New York Times, what's the name of the college? Siena College polls. And what they're doing is they're polling high sample rates of registered voters. But they're just calling registered voters. They're not actually conducting what I would call, you know, balanced sample polls, political polls, which first determine whether or not you have a likelihood to vote, and second determine who you are likely to vote for. And so they really deal in probabilities. The Siena poll is being consistently quoted in races, particularly here in Minnesota, the 2nd District and 3rd District, because they're the only people that have been doing polling. So we don't really know in some of these places, but yet that doesn't stop the media from predicting the future, and this is what's going to happen. And everyone's so upset about this Kavanaugh thing, they're going to vote Democrat. I don't know that you can say that, but they're telling everyone that, because if they don't, there's no story. There's no Greek drama to attract you to the spectacle of the story. We are going to have the election to see the result. What they have done is they have whipped up these people, these quote-unquote crowds protesting in D.C., in a ridiculous, display of emotion on both sides. And then you have the president that's going out to places like Council Bluffs, Iowa, and Mississippi, and attracting tens of thousands of people for these rallies. So the storyline, and I told you this was going to happen, first was there's going to be a blue wave. Now it's all about backlash. So the story now is going to be backlash. Fortunately, we only have about a month left before the election. So it's October 4th or 5th at the time of this recording and podcast time. and the election is on November 6th. So there's roughly 30 days before the election, and then it will be over with, and then it will all be recriminations, and Republicans are stupid, or Democrats are stupid, or we lost, and Michael Moore, who doesn't know, you know, anything, will come out and he'll say, I was right, and I, you know, and then everyone will go through this whole thing again. And none of it is advancing anything. It's just a distraction. It is a means of putting people to sleep. And I'm not saying, wake up, America! That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we don't think enough when we are steeped in this stuff. And I'm speaking to the political junkies out there. When we are steeped in this stuff, we don't think enough about lives. We don't think about the lives that we lead. And I'll tell you, at this point in my life, so I'm a certain age, at this point in my life, my father was dead. And I realize how young he was now when he died. And I think it's so interesting because one of the things that he said to me was, it goes by really fast. And it does. And my brother-in-law also died at the same age many years ago. And he's a Vietnam combat vet and obviously had plans in his life to do things and what he was going to do when he got to be this age and what he was going to do to be this age and that age. And my dad and my mom were going to buy an RV and travel and all these things. And of course, that was not done. And my dad, and I think about this a lot, my dad was a very cautious, conservative guy. He was very loyal to the people he worked for and he didn't really have any friends. He had work friends and he was loyal to his work friends. And he had, he had like three or four jobs in his entire life. He was, worked for the railroad. He worked for the USDA. And then he worked for a corporation as a food technologist for 25 years. And my mom constantly prodded him to leave because they never paid him a lot of money, but he didn't care. He bought his suits at Sears and Montgomery Ward's, and it didn't bother him in the least. What he liked to do, he was a scientist, and what he liked, the lab, and that's what he liked to do. And he was a manager, and he liked to manage, and he was happy. He didn't, you know, he bought used cars his flourish was he bought used convertibles, and he had two Buick Electra convertibles, and one was a 64 Electra, white with a black top and black interior, and the other one was a 68 Buick Electra with a black interior and a black top, and he loved those cars, and that was his little flourish. He loved his convertible. But other than that, you know, his life was his family and his wife, and that was it. And I can understand why he would have said, aside from the war, you know, he would have said that life went by really fast. At this point in my life, in his life, he was dead. And the same thing with my brother-in-law, who, you know, they wanted to move out to the farm, and, you know, he had lots of plans of what they were going to do and so forth. And that was all truncated. So think about the span of your life and think about how much time we want to spend on this stuff. What is interesting to me is many people at a certain point in their life, they give up. They just quit. They get fat. They get cantankerous. They just want to sit in the backyard and smoke their cigar or do something else. And they lose their passion for life. And I'm speaking primarily of men. At a time when many are doing that, I am completely and totally engaged in business and building my business and learning the lessons of building my business. And I find myself keeping my own counsel a lot of times. I mull over things like, and really, you know what it's about in business? It's about what you spend your time on, because time is literally money. And that sounds like a shallow point, but it's interesting because time, you know, that's really your capital, is what are you going to spend your time on? And, you know, is, if I spend my time doing this, is that going to produce the most results for my business? And so the business, which in my case is my person, is really important. And you end up spending a lot of time, or at least I do, keeping my own counsel and thinking about what I'm going to do and why, and really looking at how I spend my time and what I spend my time on. So then you start expanding that into the relationship between time spent and money made. And those are easy things to talk about. It's easy to say, this is the kind of business you're in, this is how to scale it up, this is what you spend your time on, but it's much harder to figure out for your business how to do that. And that's exciting to me. Like, that's really exciting to me. And this is the essence of the getting away. As a person who is steeped in being on the radio and doing the radio thing, which is 13 or 14 hours a day, that's what you have to spend your time on, or you're no good. Then you get out of that and you start doing something else. And to me, it's like getting out of prison. You know, it's taken me 5 years to learn. Really, this is about what you spend your time on and what you can do. And it's the essence of what I refer to as organic work. Politics, unless you're in office, is a dead end. I just did my taxes for 2017. I know it's late, but you know, I went full on to the straight up October 15th final deadline, and it's all good. But we were talking about why people go into politics and how, you know, it's kind of a dead end. Because if you're a politician, so if you run for state legislature and you become a state legislator, well, that's what you're doing. You're a state legislator. So you're going around to all these coffees and these events, and you're, you know, you literally are glad handing and showing your face, and then going back to your district and talking to people, and then you go and you legislate. And that's what they do. They're not thinking about national issues so much as they're thinking about, you know, do we want to put a road through downtown, you know, Belle Plaine? You know, that's the issue for that guy. And if you're a U.S. congressman, the issue is, you know, what kind of funding you can provide for your district, and do you need to do this? And, you know, there's a couple of national issues, but the work isn't, this isn't some kind of God-inspired work so much as this is just simply you're one of 435 votes, or you're one of 110 votes, and that's important, but that's the work. So when you're in business for yourself and you're building a business, it's a completely different discipline. And it makes me think about, and this is where I advance the story in terms of podcasting, that one of the things that I would put forth is that this obsession with politics, if it becomes an obsession where you're hanging on everything that happens in Washington, D.C., and you're constantly railing about the idiots and the things that they're doing and so forth, you really have, an obsessive compulsive mental illness. Because it's one thing to do it because you have to talk about it on the radio tomorrow, or one thing to do it because this is your business. It's another thing to do it because you're obsessed with it. And, you know, I think that what we don't think a lot about, because we're looking for distractions, because we don't want to think about how short life is. And we don't want to think about the lessons that we learn in life. We would prefer to tell jokes. We would prefer to watch games. We would prefer to find distractions. We would prefer to be hypnotized so that we don't have to think about what ends up happening, and that is that you die. Now, I don't have time to do a whole podcast about death. I could say I'm not scared of death. I could also say that I wouldn't even know or begin to be able to say that I'm not scared of death. I don't know a human being that is not scared of the unknown and that really isn't scared of the process of death, because unless you're killed in a car accident instantly or somebody shoots you or something, you know, you're gonna die in pain and your body is gonna break down whether you're 99 years old or 39, and that's gonna be what kills you. So you don't have, if you're lucky and your heart blows up and you die, running or something, you know, then you don't have time to think about the pain. But it's still, you know, you realize that you're facing this experience, this unknown experience. And you might realize, I suppose, that we don't really spend a lot of time thinking about the nature of how we live in our society, both individually, our family, our friendships and other kinds of relationships, the animals that we have had and have, our possessions, the nature of reality. Like, are we really alive, or is this some kind of projection? You know, all of that existential stuff. And then this whole thing about the wide scope of our lives and our feelings and our pursuits, which seem tragically short in comparison. I know some people don't feel that way, but when I, you know, starting something late in life that I'm so passionate about, which is this podcast business, and being a pioneer in this podcast business is so exciting to me that it makes me feel that life is so short. And like I said, you know, my father, by this time in his life, was dead. And my brother-in-law, by this time in his life, was dead. And I have another brother-in-law who, you know, died even earlier. And, you know, we all have relatives that have passed away early in life. So when we think about all these horrible things that are happening in Washington and stuff, you know, I feel like somebody needs to remind us without repeating over and over again what's going to happen in the midterms. Put it in perspective, because what it's really about is enjoying life. And I am enjoying doing what I'm doing. I found it fascinating that when I went through all my receipts for this business, and I don't do my receipts quarterly or anything else, you know, I was really surprised to find that my perception of where the business was within $4,000 or $5,000. Of where it actually is without looking at any receipts. You know, I just put them in a bag. So when I pull all the receipts out and looked at it, I was within, you know, a relatively accurate place in terms of where my business actually is. And that blew me away, because that shows how focused I am on this. And to me, that's how I'm enjoying life. And then I think, well, you're not doing travel, friends, you know, having new experiences and doing new things instead of just being mired in this nonsense that we are being. It's none of it is earth shattering. You know, they'll either confirm or won't confirm this guy. And if, guess what, there'll be somebody else after him, because there's a vacancy on the court. You know, they'll either get elected or they won't. And guess what, there will be another election shortly thereafter, and we'll go through the whole thing again. And someday there will be a new president, and someday there will, I mean, it goes on forever. So it's important for me, I think, to share how important it is to think about the things that actually make up life instead of paying attention to the nonsense. Well, we got kind of heavy at the end, didn't we? Well, anyway, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Spreaker. Also, of course, iTunes is the granddaddy. You can also subscribe to the RSS feed right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can listen to the streaming audio at thebobdavispodcast.com, and you can also listen to individual podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com. And I appreciate, for you know what, I want to say this. If you like a podcast, I would appreciate on Facebook if you would share it on your Facebook page, because it really helps to get that podcast into other feeds. Sometimes people will make a comment, and I love the comments, but I'd rather have you share it with a comment if you like a particular podcast. And I do appreciate the likes and the shares and favorites and following on Facebook and Twitter. Same thing on Twitter. If you share it on Twitter, it helps out as well. Also appreciate the donations from Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 763.